Chapter 19, The Hebrew Scriptures and the Prophets. First, the place of the Israelites in history. Second, Saul, David, and Solomon. Third, the Jews, a people of mixed origin. Fourth, the importance of the Hebrew prophets. First, we're now in a position to place in their proper relationship to this general outline of human history the Israelites, and the most remarkable collection of ancient documents in the world, that collection which is known to all Christian peoples as the Old Testament. We find in these documents the most interesting and valuable lights upon the development of civilization and the clearest indications of a new spirit that was coming into human affairs during the struggles of Egypt and Assyria for predominance in the world of men. All the books that constitute the Old Testament were certainly in existence, and in very much their present form, at latest by the year 100 BC. Most of them were probably recognized as sacred writings in the time of Alexander the Great, 330 BC. They were the sacred literature of a people, the Jews, who, except for a small remnant of common people, had recently been deported to Babylonia from their own country in 587 BC by Nebuchadnezzar II, the Chaldean. They had returned to their city, Jerusalem, and had rebuilt their temple there under the auspices of Cyrus, that Persian conqueror who, we've already noted, in 539 BC, overthrew Nabonidus, the last of the Chaldean rulers in Babylon. The Babylonian captivity had lasted about 50 years, and many authorities are of the opinion that there was a considerable admixture during that period, both of race and ideas, with the Babylonians. The position of the land of Judea and of Jerusalem, its capital, is a peculiar one. The land is a band-shaped strip between the Mediterranean to the west and the desert beyond the Jordan to the east. Through it lies the natural high road between the Hittites, Syria, Assyria, and Babylonia to the north, and Egypt to the south. It was a country predestined, therefore, to a stormy history. Across it, Egypt, and whatever power was ascendant in the north, fought for empire. Against its people, they fought for a trade route. It had itself neither the area, the agricultural possibilities, nor the mineral wealth to be important. The story of its people that these scriptures have preserved runs like a commentary to the greater history of the two systems of civilization to the north and south, and of the sea peoples to the west. These scriptures consist of a number of different elements. The first five books, the Pentateuch, were early regarded with peculiar respect. They begin in the form of a universal history, with a double account of the creation of the world and mankind, of the early life of the race, and of a great flood by which, except for certain favored individuals, mankind was destroyed. This flood story is very widely distributed in ancient traditions. It may be a memory of that flooding of the Mediterranean valley which occurred in the Neolithic age of mankind. Excavations have revealed Babylonian versions of both the creation story and the flood story of prior date to the restoration of the Jews, and it's therefore argued by biblical critics that these opening chapters were acquired by the Jews during their captivity. They constitute the first 10 chapters of Genesis. There follows a history of the fathers and founders of the Hebrew nation, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are presented as patriarchal Bedouin chiefs, living the life of nomadic shepherds in the country between Babylonia and Egypt. The existing biblical account is said by the critics to be made up out of several pre-existing versions, but whatever its origins, the story as we have it today is full of color and vitality. What's called Palestine today was at that time the land of Canaan, inhabited by a Semitic people called the Canaanites, closely related to the Phoenicians, who founded Tyre and Sidon, and to the Amorites, who took Babylon and under Hammurabi founded the first Babylonian empire. The Canaanites were a settled folk in the days, which were perhaps contemporary with the days of Hammurabi, when Abraham's flocks and herds passed through the land. The God of Abraham, says the Bible narrative, promised this smiling land of prosperous cities to him and to his children. To the book of Genesis the reader must go to read how Abraham, being childless, doubted this promise, and of the births of Ishmael and Isaac. And in Genesis 2, you'll find the lives of Isaac and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and of the 12 sons of Israel, and how in the days of a great famine they went down into Egypt. With that, Genesis, the first book of the Pentateuch, ends. The next book, Exodus, is concerned with the story of Moses. The story of the settlement and slavery of the children of Israel in Egypt is a difficult one. There's an Egyptian record of a settlement of certain Semitic peoples in the land of Goshen by the pharaoh Ramses II, and it's stated that they were drawn into Egypt by want of food. But of the life and career of Moses, there's no Egyptian record at all. There's no account of any plagues of Egypt, or of any pharaoh who was drowned in the Red Sea. Very perplexing is the discovery of a clay tablet written by the Egyptian governors of a city in Canaan to the pharaoh Amenophis IV, who came in the 18th dynasty before Ramses II, apparently mentioning the Hebrews by name and declaring that they are overrunning Canaan. Manifestly, if the Hebrews were conquering Canaan in the time of the 18th dynasty, they couldn't have been made captive and oppressed before they conquered Canaan by Ramses II of the 19th dynasty. But it's quite understandable that the Exodus story, written long after the events it narrates, may have concentrated and simplified and perhaps personified and symbolized what was really a long and complicated history of tribal invasions. One Hebrew tribe may have drifted down into Egypt and become enslaved, while the others were already attacking the outlying Canaanite cities. It's even possible that the land of the captivity was not Egypt, Hebrew Mizraim, but Mizrim in the north of Arabia on the other side of the Red Sea. These questions are discussed fully and acutely in the Encyclopedia Biblica, articles on Moses and Exodus, to which the curious reader must be referred. Two other books of the Pentateuch, Deuteronomy and Leviticus, are concerned with the law and the priestly rules. The book of Numbers takes up the wanderings of the Israelites in the desert and their invasion of Canaan. Whatever the true particulars of the Hebrew invasion of Canaan may be, there can be no doubt that the country they invaded had changed very greatly since the days of the legendary promise made centuries before to Abraham. Then it seems to have been largely a Semitic land with many prosperous trading cities. But great waves of strange peoples had washed along this coast. We've already told how the dark Iberian or Mediterranean peoples of Italy and Greece, the peoples of that Aegean civilization which culminated at Knossos, were being assailed by the southward movement of Aryan-speaking races such as the Italians and Greeks, and how Knossos was sacked about 1400 BC and destroyed altogether about 1000 BC. It's now evident that the people of these Aegean seaports were crossing the sea in search of securer land nests. They invaded the Egyptian delta and the African coast to the west. They formed alliances with the Hittites and other Aryan or Aryanized races. This happened after the time of Ramses II, in the time of Ramses III. Egyptian monuments record great sea fights and also a march of these people along the coast of Palestine towards Egypt. Their transport was in the ox carts characteristic of the Aryan tribes, and it's clear that these Cretans were acting in alliance with some early Aryan invaders. No connected narrative of these conflicts that went on between 1300 BC and 1000 BC has yet been made out, but it's evident from the Bible narrative that when the Hebrews under Joshua pursued their slow subjugation of the promised land, they came against a new people, the Philistines, unknown to Abraham, who were settling along the coast in a series of cities of which Gaza, Gath, Ashdod, Ascalon, and Joppa became the chief, who were really, like the Hebrews, newcomers, and probably chiefly these Cretans from the sea and from the north.